Sorry if I pronounce some words wrong. My apology. Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. Whoever curses you, I will curse. God went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from
This is the second readings from Hebrew chapter 12. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank you.
All right, just check. Can everyone hear me okay? Good, okay. Look, for those that don't know me, my name's Cameron, one of the leaders here, as Chris mentioned. Lunch is at our place afterwards. If you have brought lunch, just come with it to our place, and we'll be hosting today. It is a wonderful time of the year in many ways because program-wise, many things are in recess, but it's also a great time to connect with people. Christmas time and the summer period is good for that. And I don't know about you, but our last week has been pretty busy doing many different things, spending quality time with family and friends. So, look, today is the first Sunday of a new year. I don't know about you, but I can't believe that 2018 has gone. Where did the time go? Is it just me, or does time actually seem to pass more quickly as each year goes by? Seems to be that way for me, and I'm wondering why that could be. I wonder, has it got something to do with my age? I don't know. I know my kids can't bring on the time soon enough, leading up to Christmas. Oh, how many more sleeps? Whereas for the older crowd, you know, things just creep up very, very quickly. Maybe you're in denial. Maybe you're not ready for the new year. You may be thinking, I've still got a bunch of things on my to-do list that I haven't got to do. Goals I haven't met. People I haven't even caught up with from the previous year. Maybe I'll just bury my head in the sand for a while. Ever felt a little bit like that? Well, like it or not, we are at the start of a new year. 2019 is here. So before we do anything else, I think it's important that we start the year well, and from my family to yours, and on behalf of the leadership and this church, I do wish you, all of you, a happy new year. It's my prayer that 2019 will be a year in which your faith and my faith grows as we journey together to become the church God has called us to be a community that brings the very four things that we looked at leading up to Christmas in the Advent season, that we would be a community that brings hope, peace, love and joy, if you see those banners there on the wall. I think if we do those things in 2019, we will be a long way in moving towards the church that God wants us to be here in this small pocket of West Ryde. So today, we're going to be looking at the topic of change and new beginnings. As human beings, we begin life as helpless babies, completely dependent on the care of others. As we grow, our progress is measured by reaching a series of developmental stages. Each stage of our development is a new beginning, a new experience to what has come before. From the moment we were born, we respond to people and the big world that surrounds us. To survive and develop, we must learn how to adapt and change. As we know, this process continues all the way through our lifetime. Changing and adapting to change brings new experiences, new challenges, and new beginnings that we all need to face. If I can just pause and maybe think of one or two examples. For example, Joshua started high school last year. Haley will be starting high school this year, a new beginning. But guess what? That beginning didn't just start today. That started from preschool, kindergarten. They move out of infant school to primary school, year three. They get to be the king of the castle in year six, and then it all starts again in year seven. Small fish, very big pond. You get to the end of high school, you start university. Again, you start at the very lowest point. You get through university, you might start a job. Again, you can't start at the top, you've got to start somewhere down here. Life is full of change. For David and Esther, 9 years or so ago when you came to, well, longer than that, 10, 11 years before when you came to Australia? 11 years, moving from Korea. What a change that must have represented. Growing up in Korea, coming to a country like Australia, English is not your first language. You've had two beautiful kids who are born in Australia. They've got the best of both. But what a change. Not easy. For Chetan and Shamila and family, been in the country 5 months, 6 months, yeah? What a change. You only need to talk to them about the journey they've been on over the past few months. Moving from India, coming to Australia. Chetan finally has found employment at the beginning of December. Lots of changes. And one that I think is not lost on anyone, and that is technology. How many people have some sort of mobile device or handheld device? Probably most people. Internet. The fast pace of change and technology is inescapable. And if you choose to bury your head in the sand, you'll be left behind. Anyway, before we start, I just want a quick show of hands. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you absolutely love change, you can't get enough of it, you're a number 10. If you really dislike change, don't like it at all, you're probably a 1 or a 2. If you're somewhere in the middle, maybe 5 or 6, that's okay. So, I might start with the number 10s. Who loves change, can't get enough, enjoys change? 9 or 10, Medi. Okay, 3 or 4 people. Okay, now let's go to the very other end of the scale. If you are someone that does not like change, you're a 1 or a 2, maybe put your hand up. And it's okay, good. Wow, that's surprising. Okay, if you're a 5 or a 6 or a 7, somewhere in the middle, put your hand up. Okay, good. Thank you. That's interesting. But guess what? It just highlights a couple of points that I've made here. Everyone responds to change differently. We are all unique. I think that's a good thing. Generally, change becomes harder as we go through life. Our age, our physical capacities, our mental capacities, they do make it more difficult to move through change. Again, that's not a good thing or a bad thing, it just is. But I like this one. I do believe that we are all, to a certain extent, creatures of habit. And we do generally, prefer things to remain steady and constant most of the time. Do you believe that? In life, change is the only constant. Do you think that's true? Yeah? How about this one? Sometimes our lives have to be completely shaken up, changed, and rearranged to relocate us to the place we are meant to be. What do we think of that? Yeah? May not like it, but sometimes it's best for us. All right. Well, look, the Bible is full, absolutely full of new beginnings. And I think we can take great encouragement in knowing that we are not alone on this journey of life. There are lots of first-time moments in God's Word and examples of people who face change and new beginnings, just like we do. So as we look at some of these stories, let's remember three things. God calls people to new beginnings, and we'll look at some of those in a moment. So that's number one. Number two, new beginnings typically require change. New beginnings require change. And the third thing, unless we change, we cannot grow. Unless we change, we cannot grow. So the pointed question I ask, which we'll come back to at the end, is this. Are we willing to change and grow? Are we willing to change and grow in 2019? So just before we get into it, let me pause and pray. Dear Lord, thank you that this year is a new year. Whether we are ready for it or not, it has arrived. New year, new challenges, new opportunities, new beginnings. I pray for each and every person here this morning that their presence is no accident, that they are here in church this morning. I pray that they will hear from you and your Spirit. Speak to us, I pray, Lord, that we will hear from you and that we will approach change and new beginnings with a heart and posture of learning and desire to grow, to become more like your Son, Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. All right. Now, where could we begin in the Bible? Any idea as to the most relevant and obvious place to start when we talk about new beginnings? Anyone? Anyone? Creation. Thank you, Dorothy. I could rely on you. What are the first three words of the first book of the Bible?
In the beginning,
yes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 1, we read of the awesome account of creation. Have a look at the final verse. God saw that everything that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. God made everything perfect in the beginning. But God's creative work was not quite complete until he had made woman. And so in chapter 2, God creates the woman from one of the man's ribs. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So at this moment, God has created a perfect model of relationship between the man and the woman. Another beginning, a beginning that we would call marriage, a partnership created by God that brings the man and the woman together, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. For Cindy and I, we've been blessed with four beautiful children. I see them as one of God's most precious gifts entrusted to us from God, each of them representing a new beginning. As I'm sure Elise and Alan will attest, baby Abigail is a beautiful addition to their family, a wonderful new beginning. Yeah. So as we begin a new year, let's not forget, life is a gift from God. Creation is where it all began. We were made in the image of God, and we were made for relationship with God, our Creator, and with one another. The next significant moment as we step through Genesis is Noah. From the story of Noah, we know that God was devastated. He was sad despondent at the world that he had made because it had become so wicked. Here's what he says in Genesis chapter 6. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So as we know, God sent a flood to destroy every living thing. Only Noah and his sons and their wives and the animals on the ark were saved. See, God used Noah and his family to start again, to repopulate the earth, a new beginning for the world. He made a promise to Noah. This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. When you think of the beautiful rain that we had yesterday and that dramatic thunderstorm, I didn't see a rainbow, but normally when the rain comes and the sun comes out straight away, you do get the rainbow. And it's extraordinary. It's beautiful. But guess what? That is God's sign of his agreement or promise to never flood the earth and destroy it in that fashion again. But it's also a reminder of a very important new beginning where he basically deluged, completely flooded the world and started again. You see, God had not given up on the world. Not at all. In Noah, we see the start of a recurring theme throughout the Bible. See, God is the God of new beginnings. And as we know, new beginnings always bring change. The flood that covered the earth also tells us how serious God views sin. God destroyed the world, literally burying the wickedness of mankind under the water. But God preserved Noah and his family to begin a new life, a new beginning. Now we see this image of water in baptism. We had a baptism last year, David's with us, and under here is a big pool. And when David was baptized, he went underneath the water. And that was symbolic of him dying to his old self. And when he came up out of that water, he was a new creation. And his life, as a new believer, coming out of the water, represents a new beginning. So I love that parallel between what God did so many years ago with Noah and the flood, deluging, completely covering the water, the earth with water, and what came out of that was new beginnings. God preserved through Noah and his family. So as we begin a new year, there's two questions we should be asking ourselves. Number one, how is your relationship with God? And secondly, are there things in your life that possibly have come between you and your relationship with God? These are good questions to ask. Let me give you a hand. Some of those things that could come between you and your relationship with God might seem trivial enough and harmless enough. But if we're a couch potato, fixated on the TV, if we're pursuing our career, if money is the object of our life, if we spend an unhelpful amount of time on social media, that could be coming between you and your relationship with God. Food for thought. Abraham. We see another example in our reading this morning of Abraham, who God called to pack up and leave his country, his family, his people, and the life he knew. So we won't read that again. The words are still there. But see, Abraham, he was a giant of faith. In Hebrews, that's pretty much where the chapter on faith begins. when we talk about the important people, particularly those in the historical sense of the Old Testament. He was a man of faith. He obeyed God, even though that would mean uprooting his family and walking away from everything. That was definitely a new beginning, resulting in unprecedented change and disruption. Do you think God speaks to us today as he spoke to Abraham? I think he does. God still speaks to us today through his Holy Spirit. So, the questions that we have to ask ourselves when we look at Abraham: are we listening and waiting for God's voice? Am I willing to move in a new direction? Or is my comfort more important than actually following and obeying God's plan for my life? And these are tough questions. I have to ask those same questions myself. But furthermore, we have to ask these questions as a church. Are we, as people who belong to the West Ryde Community Church, are we listening to the Holy Spirit's leading as we start a new year? Are we willing and obedient to become the church that he has called us to be? To be present, to love, and to extend the gift that we've been given to the community that surrounds us. So as we work through what that could mean, we also ask ourselves, are we willing to change? And that might mean that we put aside some of our preference and comfort in order to obey God and to fulfill what he wants us to do in this community. Just to the side of the church, behind the hall, most of us will have seen the new barbecue outdoor space. I think God is preparing us, and has been for a while, to move forward into making big steps forward in 2019. So the question for us: are we ready? Are we willing? Are we able to go in obedience to what God is calling us to be? A church for the community, in the community, present, active, engaged. Okay. Who can tell me who's standing in front of the burning bush? Kids? Moses. Good on you. Good on you, Joy. See, in Exodus, we read another new beginning. Moses is facing a new direction, a new beginning that would require an enormous step of obedience and courage to lead Israel out of bondage in Egypt. What does God tell him? "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses' confrontation with God, and it was a confrontation, let me tell you. If you want to read for yourself in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, it's a real dialogue. Moses puts up a big fight. See, God was asking to do something he was not comfortable doing at all. He argued with God, putting up excuse after excuse as to why he couldn't do what God was asking him to do. And those were the excuses, paraphrased. And I would add that these are some of the excuses we would put forward as well when God is asking us to move somewhere or do something or change. "I'm no one. Why would people listen to me? I have no authority or power. No one will believe me. I'm not good with words." These are the excuses that Moses put up to God in the presence of the burning bush. And how does God respond? Again, paraphrased. In reference to "I'm a no one, I'm a nobody," God says, "Well, I am with you." And we know from Romans, the book of Romans in the New Testament, Paul writes that we are more than conquerors. That's a wonderful chapter. I'm pretty sure it's chapter 8. The second thing, I have no power or authority. What does God say? Well, guess what you do? The great I am, which is the title given to God in the Old Testament at that moment, we have the complete authority and backing and power of the God of this universe that created you and me and everything in this world. We do have authority. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. No one will believe me. No one will be interested in what I have to say if I go and talk to my neighbour in Endeavour Street or Riverview Street. Well, guess what? It's not up to us. It's God that convicts hearts. God's the one that changes people. It's not up to us. We just need to be willing to go. I'm not good with words. I can't talk. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, guess what? God enables us for the task. He gives us words in the moment. What did he do in the case of Moses? He said, well, look, there's your brother Aaron. Take him with you. He will be your spokesperson when you confront Pharaoh. We have the Holy Spirit. We will be given the words in the moment that we need them. God equips us with everything that we need. I, for one, am guilty of using some of these excuses. For not doing, for not going, for not changing, digging my heels in, so to speak. But I guess the question for all of us is, what change is God asking you and this church to make in 2019? So the question's there, what new beginning is God asking or moving you towards this year? And the same, therefore, for our church. Because he does not just simply work in individuals. Individuals comprise this church. We are the church, we the people, not the building. So while he might be operating corporately, he absolutely needs to also be operating in your heart and my heart individually. Now, when it comes to new beginnings, we've looked at Abraham, Noah, and Moses. There are so many others that we could look at. But it was Jesus himself who entered this world 2,000 years ago. It was Jesus who represented the ultimate new beginning for you and me. As we've just come out of the celebration of Christmas, and we thankfully still have a few of these banners remaining, to remind us of what Jesus came to bring to a needy world then, to an even more needy world today. His birth marked the dawn of a new kingdom. A new kingdom that would never end. His death and resurrection brought forgiveness to the world. He took our place of punishment to bring us new life, a new and restored relationship with God, the ultimate new beginning. The fulfillment of the original promise made to Abraham. We are the recipients of that promise, and we are blessed because of Jesus coming into this world. So as we start a new year, I do believe, and I've taken this on board myself, one of my to-do list items was to do a little bit of self-reflection. I think it's a healthy thing for all of us to do a bit of self-reflection at the start of a new year. Reflecting how our life is going, particularly our relationship before God, and to consider whether there is opportunity for us to change, to adjust, some course correction perhaps in our lives. Let's all commit this year to seeking God's direction for the path that he has laid out for each of us. Keeping in mind always God's plans are perfect. His ways are higher than ours. And the specific plan that he has for you, for this church, and the kingdom, are well and truly already in motion. They are already happening, whether we are participating or not. So as we close, I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm just going to ask everyone to stand and read together four short verses that I picked that really capture the essence of what I think today is all about, the beginning of a new year. And just contemplate the words as they come up one at a time. So let's all stand and read these together, and then I'll close with prayer. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the last one is from Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we are at the start of a new year. Your blessings are new every morning. Opportunities that present today are ours to be taken. And we pray for courage, for boldness, but above all, obedience, to follow the path individually that you have laid out for us, but also for this church. We thank you so much that there are examples all through Scripture of new beginnings and the change that comes with those new beginnings. Please give us your heart to be the people and community you've called us to be this year. And as we move into a time of communion, that we continue to reflect on what that will mean to us individually. We thank you again for the wonderful and life-transforming work of Jesus, whom we pray through now. In his name, amen.
Together this morning. And it's been a great reminder from Cameron this morning that our God is a God of change. He is a God of new beginnings. But the ultimate new beginning for us was Jesus coming as one of us, to be born like one of us, to live like one of us, but then to die as a human being, to suffer on our behalf so that we could know forgiveness and freedom and new life. And I can't think of a better new beginning than what Jesus has offered us. Just want to share with you some verses that I've been reading this last week. They come from Ephesians chapter 2. Once you were far away from God and without hope, but now he has brought you near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but members of God's own family. Now we can all come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. I read those verses and it's just such a beautiful reminder that it's all about Jesus. the new beginning that we're able to enjoy, the opportunities that we have every day is all because of Jesus. The fact that we are sitting here today in all our diversity of gender and age and culture and social standing, that we can come together as one with no wall of hostility is amazing. And it's all because of Jesus. And that's what we remember now this morning as we take this bread and this juice. And we do that because it's what Jesus asked us to do. It was the thing that he did with his disciples before he died. And he asked them to do that. We read in the Gospels that Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's a reminder of the covenant that God has with his people, which is us. And so I'm going to invite you to come up and to take a piece of bread and to take a small glass of juice and to take it back to your seat and to just spend a moment with God on your own, just remembering what Jesus did for you. Offering him your gratitude and your thanks for the new beginning that God has offered to you through the sacrifice of his Son. And then I'll pray, and then we can eat the bread and drink the juice together.